Okay, this class is dedicated by the elite numbers in honor of what?
My new granddaughter.
Your granddaughter.
Thank you.
Mazel tov.
Okay. That's not going on this. Okay, bottom two lines in a row. Last time we learned about the mitzvah of Micah building a fence around the roof, about not plowing the two animals together, not wearing shatnez. Okay, now the Torah is going to speak about relationships of what happens. Okay, Patzik Yud Gimel on page 1050. Ki yikach ish isha, if a man will take a woman, meaning with Kedushin, and he lives with her, usnea, and he comes to hate her. Now we'll soon see what the story is. But before we even go further, ki sikach ish isha, or ki yikach, I mean, when a man takes a woman, the Gemara learns out that refers to the act of Kedushin. In other words, it's done today also, but today it's done together. In the olden times, there are two acts in the things of marriage. There was what's called Kedushin. What's wrong?
On page
1050.
Thank
you. At the bottom. There's what's called Kedushin or Eirusin. And then you had what was called Nisuin or Chuppah. In other words, and this is very important to understand the dinim that's coming out now. A man would, the way the Mishnah tells it in Ksubis, a man comes to a girl that was never married before, but today we would give a ring in front of two witnesses and say, Harei amukadeshesli b'tabazu, you are betrothed to me, consecrated to me with this ring, according to the laws of Moshe and Yisrael. The woman therefore became mukadeshes to him, Edison. What does that mean in halacha? She cannot marry anybody else. If they break up, she needs a get. But she cannot live with the husband yet because they didn't have a chuppah. They didn't have part two, which was what's called nisuin, the actual marriage. So the edison, or the kedushin as it's called, consecrated the woman, separated her from the rest of the world that nobody else is allowed to marry her. And by the way, if she got a get, she's considered a divorcee, and she cannot marry a kohen, whatever it is. But the man cannot live with her until after they do what's called the wedding, the chuppah, the nisuin. Nowadays, we do it both together. Under the chuppah, there's two parts of the wedding. There's what's called the edison, when the rabbi makes the brachas, and then the man gives the ring to the woman. Okay, then they read the ksuba as a separation to break between the two parts of the wedding. And then you have the Sheva Brachas under the chuppah that allows the man and the woman from then on to be husband and wife to be married together.
Can a woman refuse?
Well, if she had to accept it willingly. You can't come over to a woman against her will and give her a ring.
All right.
No, she has to, the Gemara learns it out from Rivka, they said, let's go ask her. So you learn out the Kedushin, the Edison part has to be only if she wants.
Right.
If she doesn't want, she doesn't happen. Now, what happened over here in the case that the Torah is speaking about, a man did Kedusha with a woman. A year later, the Gemara says, for a virgin, they would give 12 months to prepare themselves for the wedding. After they got married, You're late.
Who told you? We charge you late, 6 minutes late.
I'm going to be there.
They brought you, by the way. Okay, so now the guy does Kedusha with the wife, with the woman. And then, when they get married, he comes and says, hey, she's not a virgin. And not only that she's not a virgin, she committed adultery after the Kedusha.
Uh-oh.
Which would get her stoned. In other words, like this. I need to say all these introductions because otherwise we won't understand the pasuk, the halacha that the Torah is saying. A man comes to the woman and gives her the ring, or today, in the time of the Gemara, it doesn't have to be a ring. It could be any object that's worth, like we said, a pruta, like we said, how much you have to give matanos avyeinim. You give her the ring or the money, and you say, I'm mekudeshes. The woman is not allowed to live with anybody else. If she commits adultery, she gets stoned. A married woman who commits adultery, she gets choked. chenek. That's the punishment for eishes ish. Otherwise, if it's a girl only after the kedushin, so then they get skila. What happens over here is the guy marries the girl, okay, and he says, and he hates her. Why does he hate her? So he says because he's going to explain why he hates her. V'sam lo alilas dvarim. He makes, and in the English, a wanton accusation against her. V'heitzi aleha shem ra, and he says bad gossip about her. And he says like this, Es'ish ha'zeis l'kachti, I married this woman, v'akrev aleha, and I was intimate with her, v'le'matzasi lov besulim, and she's not a virgin. But he's not saying she wasn't a virgin from before the Kedushin. He was saying that after we did the Edison, after we did the Kedushin, after I gave her the ring, that's when she committed adultery. Okay, so I don't want to stay married to her, because the din is you can't stay married to such a person.
Is she obligated to tell him that she's not a virgin?
Okay, well, let's first see what it says here, and then we'll see. V'lokach avia night of im. I'm going to learn a few psukim, then we're going to discuss the details of it. Now it's 10:52. So the father of the girl and the mother of the girl take, and they bring out, meaning it means it brings proof that the girl was a virgin, to the elders of the city, hasharit to the gate. Okay? So in other words, like this. Let's see a few psukim and then we'll discuss it. The father of the girl said to the elders, as biti nasati liisha zeh, liisha, I gave my daughter as a woman to this man, vayisnoeh, and he hates her. Vine, I'm just gonna, in order to get the pasuk straight, and then we'll discuss the detail. Vine osama lilas dvarim leimer, he's making up this rumor against her, leimatzasi levitcha psulim, I haven't found that she's a virgin, and that she committed adultery after I gave her the ring already, after we were betrothed and consecrated. Ve'elab sule biti, and these are the signs of being a virgin of my daughter. Uparsa similar literally means they spread out the sheet, the fnezikne yo'ir, before the elders of the city. It doesn't mean the sheet, it means they bring a proof that the girl did not commit adultery. Okay, now.
Do you have to have a witness or not?
One second. Okay, so before we, let's discuss this. Now the Torah is gonna, the pasuk is gonna say what you do to such a person. So it happens like this. First, Rashi says an interesting thing. The pasuk says he hates her, and then he starts spreading bad rumors about her. So Rashi says from the Medrash, number one, you see, Aveda Gerera Saveda. One sin brings another sin. You hate somebody, it causes you to speak Lashon Hara. That's what he did. He hates her, and then he starts speaking gossip about it. And he says, "Es'isha zeis lokachti." If you see on the top line, it says, I married this woman, which is interesting. Rashi says, again, also from the Medrash, that when you accuse somebody, you have to do it in the presence of the one that you're accusing. Because the pasuk says, "Es'isha zeis." This woman I married and she wasn't a virgin. It doesn't say a woman I married and she's not a virgin. And again, I want to emphasize over here, this is not a guy that gave Kedushin when she already wasn't a virgin. That's a whole different law over here. Over here we're talking about his complaint is that after the Kedushin, after I gave her the ring and said, Ayat Mekudeshesli, before we got married, she committed adultery. That's what the guy's actual complaint is. Okay? And he says, she's not a virgin. Now obviously, halachically, he can't just stam say, a girl's a virgin, not a virgin, because first of all, you know, how are you gonna prove and all that? But before we get into the details, let's discuss a little bit about this concept of Kedushin. The Gemara says, beginning of Kedushin, the Gemara says, and it's relevant because later on in the parsha we're going to learn more about the dinim of Kedushin. We said before there's Kedushin and there's Nisuin. Kedushin is the way the woman and this gets, so to speak, stuck to the man, that she cannot marry anybody else.
Food deposit.
It's not a deposit. Actually, she becomes usher to the whole world. Mekudeshesli, by the way, when, you know, you're under even a chuppah, today in a chuppah, you also say, Hare at Mekudeshesli, betabazu, with this ring, kedukwantulazim ashin yisrael. What is this expression, Hare at Mekudeshesli? What Mekudeshes mean? You're holy to me. But what does it mean? Kaddish means actually separated. We learned in the past, something that's holy, the definition of Kedusha, means separated. We learned a prostitute could be called a Kaddish, holy person is called, the word Kedushin actually means separation. Kaddish umuvda, completely separated. So now, in biblical times, the guy was allowed to have many wives. Okay? So, he wasn't necessarily stuck to her because he can have 10 wives, 5 wives, whatever it is. But once a woman gets this kedushin, she cannot live with anybody else, she cannot marry anybody else until either the guy dies or gives her a get. Now, this kedushin can be done in one of 3 ways. Today, it's only done one way. Okay? The Mishnah says a woman could be acquired to the husband through kesef, money, or equal money, something like a ring or something that's valuable. Shtar, a document. Meaning if a guy would write on a piece of paper, technically, Harei at mekudeshesli, bishtar zu, you are consecrated to me with this document. It could be on a junky piece of paper. And he gives it to her in front of 2 witnesses. She becomes mekudeshes.
Doesn't she have a sign?
No. The woman doesn't sign anything. In fact, I don't want to get this into anything. I'm going to skip out one Rashi where it says the father talks and not the mother. The woman's not supposed to talk in the presence of a man. But we'll leave out that Rashi for some other time. For woman's class, I'll elaborate on it. So it says like this. The man, in order to have Kedushin validated, there must be 2 witnesses. Okay? The whole tractate of Kedusha that we learned on Tuesday night a long time ago discusses all the various intricate laws of Kedusha. But just one of the basic, but today Halacha says it's only done with a ring, not even with money. But technically, if a guy comes over to a woman and gives her a sandwich in front of 2 witnesses and say, Arei amu kedashosli, Besandwich zoo, Kadas Moshe v'Yisrael, and in front of 2 witnesses, she becomes betrothed to him. You know, a lot of times teenagers play games like this. They come over, a bunch of boys and girls are hanging out, and somebody just told me he heard it happened recently. But I know cases that it happened to. And the boy comes over to the girl in front of 2 kosher witnesses, you know, two...
Joking.
Huh?
Joking.
Not, but now it may be joking. He says that at Mukadashasli and she accepts it.
That's inappropriate.
I know, but the point is, this woman needs a divorce, a get from this guy before she can get married to anybody else, unless she wants to marry the guy. I mean, you know, teenagers, it could be a very big problem in today's world. But the bottom line is like this. When the Torah says, ki yikach ish isha, that the Torah is speaking about, the opening verse over here, the man takes the woman. That's the Torah's expression. The man takes the woman. Why? There's a lot of reasons, by the way. Because the woman, Chava, was created from Adam's ribs. Remember? Hashem took the rib and created. So, this was, part of him was lost. You lose something, you go find it. Okay? You go find it. And therefore, the Torah says, Hashem said to Adam Rishon, all the way back at the beginning of Chumash, Prurvu umilu esaretz v'chivshua, fill up the earth and conquer it. Okay, there's a conquering aspect of humans conquering the earth. So, the Gemara learns out that it could be either with shtar, document that he writes on, and the Gemara learns out from Psukim and everything else, though, from Get, the comparison of Get and Kedushin, that you could give Kedushin with a shtar, you could do it with money or equal to money. Kabbalistically, everybody does it today with a round ring that doesn't have a stone in it. Cannot be a stone, it has to be a plain, customary is plain, gold, round, circular ring. It's Kabbalistic, this is round, and it has to be gold, and it cannot be this halach already. that it can't have a stone in it, a diamond or something. And the reason for that is because a woman might think it's worth more than it really is. She might think it's worth $10,000, and he bought it in fake jewelry for $10. So she's gonna think that the stone is worth more. Therefore, you make it a simple ring. This is what Halacha says today. You make it a simple ring. There's no question how much it's worth. Everybody knows the value of it. You can't make a mistake in the valuation of it, because a stone, you can make a mistake between $100 and $100,000. So therefore, it's done without any, you know, okay. So that's, and the third way is be it through intimacy. Actually, you could do Kedusha through intimacy. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do it today, and it's not done today, and that's it. But to do the act of Kedushin, the Gemara says ki yikach here. The Gemara says, how do we know you could do it with money? It here says take. It doesn't say how. So the Gemara learns out, when Avraham Avinu bought Ma'aras HaMachpelah from Ephron, it says over there the word he took, vayikach. And the Gemara learns out, Gzeira Shava, kicha, kicha it's called. Just does like over there, when Avraham Avinu bought Ma'aras HaMachpelah in Chevron, he paid it with money. So the same thing Gemara says, a man can acquire the woman, in other words, take her as a wife, through money. And that's the, but, which is very important then, even though it's not relevant to the psukim we're learning, is you must have two witnesses. Two kosher witnesses testifying that they saw the act of the kedushin done properly. I'll give you an example. What happens if I lend you $1,000, okay, and you agree you owe me the $1,000? We don't need a document, we don't need witnesses, everybody agrees, everybody's fine. Why do I need witnesses? In case they say you owe me $1,000, you say no I don't, so then I need witnesses to testify that you do owe me the money. Okay. What happens, the Gemara says, by Kedushin, by this thing over here, a man and a woman go into a room by themselves, man gives a woman a ring, and he says to her, Harei at mekodeshes li b'tabazu, kadas Moshe Yisrael, you're consecrated to betroth to me with this ring according to the law of Moshe Yisrael. Nobody else was in the room. They walk out of the room, they say, Mazel Tov. He gave me a ring and I accepted it. The Gemara says, it's worthless. Ein cheshish in the gedul. It's not even a doubt. It's worthless. Not because we're doubting them. Because they both agree. What's the doubt? Doubting is only when one person says, yeah, one person says no. Here they both agree. So why don't we believe them? Because the din is, the testimony of witnesses is part of the procedure. It's not verification. In monetary laws, they don't make the loan happen. They verify the loan took place. Right? They don't make the damages happen. They verify the damages took place. By Kedushin and by Git, and also the same thing by a Get, it's not that the witnesses verify that it happened. They are actually a part of the process of making it happen. In other words, just like the man has to give the ring, you must have two witnesses testifying. It's not to verify that it happened or not. Because even if they both agree, it's worthless. And if I agree you owe me $1,000 and you agree you owe me $1,000, then you don't need witnesses.
If the girl was virgin and then he comes and he says, not virgin, you don't need...
Well, that's what we're talking about here. But here we're talking about she became non-virgin after the Kedushin. But your case is different.
We haven't gotten there yet.
We're not there yet.
We haven't gotten to sex yet.
Okay. What? The fact that the Edim, yeah, because Torah says in other places, Al Pishnai made them Yokum Dovod, it has to be the establishment of two witnesses.
So you always have to...
By the way, this is what I'm saying now, is what the Rogachev holds. The Xais doesn't agree with the Rogachev, I mean, the Rogachev doesn't agree with the Xais. But, the Rebbe learns in Halach that this is actually what's called Edi Kiyum. There's Edi Birur and Edi Kiyum. The witnesses that make it happen, the witnesses that verify that it happened. So this is, by Kedushin, is actually making it happen. Okay, now, so what happens over here is, the guy ki yikach isha, okay? He marries, he does the Kedushin. Then they get married, and he lives with her, and she says that they committed an act of adultery. So the pasuk says the father and the mother have to come and bring the girl, right, to the Beis Din. Why does the father and the mother have to come? So the reason is very simple. They say to her, look what you raised. They say to the parents, is this who you raised? Look, this is what it is. So the father says, okay, I have proof that she's a virgin. Obviously, it doesn't mean any, like Rashi says also. It's as clear as the concept of witnesses. Okay? Now, so what happens over here is, so let's now discuss exactly what's happening in this particular case. Okay? He says that she committed adultery after the Kedushin. Okay? Now, the parents come and they say, okay, this is what it is. Now, another interesting halacha the Gemara learns from here, which is a very important halacha, by the way. It says, as biti nasati lo ish hazeh. My daughter I gave to this man. Now, the din is as follows. There are three stages of a girl. By a boy, it's under bar mitzvah, over bas mitzvah. Huh?
Bar mitzvah.
What did I say? I'm sorry. Before bar mitzvah, after bar mitzvah. By a girl, there's three stages. It's very important to know for the upcoming psukim in this whole page down to the bottom. There is a ktana, which is under bas mitzvah. Then there is a naira. A naira is from 12 to 12 and a half. Over 12 and a half, she's called begeris. Or if you yeshiva bar, say begeris. But the Hebrew, it's correct, is bogeris, which means a complete adult. Now, a girl under age and a boy under bar mitzvah cannot do kedushin. The boy under bar mitzvah cannot give a girl a ring and say, I'm kedushously. He doesn't have the maturity to understand what he's doing. Same thing, a girl is not able to accept kedushin under bas mitzvah. But her father could accept kedushin for her. If a girl is over three years old, the father can marry her off to whoever he wants.
Boy.
Now, from the time...
She's upset.
What's your problem?
No problem.
Okay, good.
My grandmother's sister got married at the age of 5 or something.
Okay, they gave a high five, probably. Now, a girl from when she hits 12... She is an adult as far as mitzvahs. You know, she's bat mitzvah, she has to keep all the mitzvahs in the Torah. But from 12 to 12 and a half, she's still under the father's jurisdiction for certain dinim. If she's married, she's under the husband's jurisdiction and the father's jurisdiction. Well, yeah, some, for certain dinim for both, like nullifying the vows and whatever. We'll see all the details. But the din is that a father can accept kedushin for his daughter from whoever he wants, as long as she's a minor. Once she's 12 and a half, that's it. He cannot accept kedushin for her anymore. Even between 12 and a half, between 12 and 12 and a half, the girl could do it, the father could do it, but it's a whole different story. Now, how do we know this? Because the Torah says over here, what does the father say? As biti nasati lo'ish hazeh. I gave my daughter to this man. The girl doesn't even have to know about it. By the way, just for the record, the reason why it was done in the olden days, I'll tell you why it was done in the olden days pretty often, even though later on the poskim write, you shouldn't do it, I mean, you know, today it's not done. But the reason why it was done is because the parents actually couldn't support the kids. And if she found somebody...
Support.
If the father found somebody who was able to support her, he married her off to him. It wasn't, in those days it wasn't looked at. Today it would be statutory rape and abuse and molestation, it would be whatever you want. In those days it wasn't, because that first of all was the norm then. And a lot of fathers couldn't afford to raise the kids, so they married them off and have somebody else worry about them. But that's what they would do. But here we learn out another interesting thing that we learned in the Gemara in Ksubis Tuesday night a while ago. There's a concept called Pesha Asar, Pesha Hiter. The mouth that forbids is the mouth that permits. That means if you believe him that he made himself no good, you have to believe himself that he was made good. The case we were learning in the Gemara in Ksubis was there's an assumption in the Gemara that if a girl was taken in captivity, if a girl was taken into captivity, we assume that she was raped and thereby by one of the goyim, and therefore she cannot marry a kohen. Because a girl that lived with a goy cannot marry a kohen. So if there are witnesses that she was taken captive, that's it. She cannot marry a kohen anymore because there's a strong assumption that she was raped. What happens if we don't know that she was taken captive? We don't know. A girl comes on her own to Beis Din and says, listen, I was captured by goyim, but they didn't touch me. Okay? So halacha says, what's called Pesha Asar, the same mouth that forbid, is Pesha Hita, the mouth that permits. Meaning, if you believe in that it's no good, then you have to say mouth said it is good. Like in this case, the woman said, I was captured. Without her, we wouldn't know she was captured. And the same mouth that says I was captured, meaning there's a question now, was I hurt? So now the same mouth says I wasn't touched. So then we learned in the Gemara, then she could marry a kohen. Because if you're believing her that she was captured, you have to believe her that, okay. Now, this pasuk says a very interesting expression. As biti nasati, I gave my daughter, lo'ish, to a man. Now, technically, by saying that, she was under 12. Now, which man?
Amen.
We don't know. Right? Alone. So then she was forbidden to marry any man in the world. Forever. Because you don't know, maybe the husband accepted Kedushin from Mr. One.
The father
accepted Kedushin from Mr. One. And because we don't know who that is, she's a married woman, but we don't know with who. There's 6 billion people in the world. So she cannot get married to 6 billion people. Because maybe each one of them is not the, only one out of the 6 billion is her husband.
What if the man passes away during this book?
Yeah, but you don't know who it is.
Correct.
So when the father says, as biti nasati lo ish, lo cher, she right away should be forbidden for every man in the world. But the husband adds the word hazais, this man. That means, from Mikan, the Gemara says, from here, Rashi brings it down also. Mikan, where is it? Anyway, but the Gemara says, from this pasuk, as beating the Sati Shazer, Mikan, the Gemara says, the Pesha Asir, because the mouth that said she's forbidden to everybody says Azais, so she's only marrying this guy. Okay, so now the question is, they have to prove that she was, so let's say, the husband brings witnesses that this girl was alone in a room, two witnesses, that she was alone in a room with another man. So therefore there's an assumption that they live together. Right? Therefore he says she's not a virgin. How does he know she's not a virgin? That it happened after the Kedushin. Maybe it was from before.
Excuse me, you didn't clarify something. At the time the girl, I'm sorry ladies and gentlemen, at the time the girl is underage and the father makes this promise to a gentleman, must there be two people present as witnesses?
To the father. The father is instead of the girl.
Alright, that's very important.
Yeah. The right. Father, okay.
So there will be someone in the world who knows that this girl would be married.
Yeah, but the father is believed, this is what the Gemara is saying though. A father is believed now, today, to come and said, you know what? I betrothed my 10-year-old daughter.
Without witnesses.
At the time there had to be witnesses, but he's believed later to say that he did it. He's believed to say later that he did it. And there were witnesses at the time. So what happens over here is like this. The husband says this girl was not a virgin. Obviously, he lived with her, and he sees she's not a virgin. But he says, I have proof that it happened after the Kedushin. Right? Meaning, she committed adultery. So you have to stone her, and I can't stay married to her. How can he prove that? So he has to bring two witnesses that they testify she committed adultery after the Kedushin before they got married. Right? That's his proof. But the husband, the father, and the mother bring a proof. No, that those witnesses are not legit. They're Edom Zaymim. You couldn't testify what you did because you were with us at that time. There's something like that. Or they deny that it's not true, whatever the witnesses is. So the guy, the husband, is actually bringing a proof that this is what happened here. Okay? Not for sure. He's bringing two witnesses that this took place after the Kedushin, before they got married. And the parents, Uparsa Simla, and they spread out the clothing, as Rashi says, mean they testify clearly that it's not what happened. Okay? So what happened is like this. There's no proof that it happened. Correct? There's no proof that it happened. Because the parents disproved the proof that the husband brought. So now, what do you do?
Compensate.
So it says like this. V'lokhu ziknei o'ira hi esi'ish. The elders of the city take this person, this man who slandered the girl. V'yisro eisei, and they give him what's called malchus. They give him lashes, 39 lashes.
I don't know.
Oh, plenty. It was plenty. Besides that, v'anchu eisei mea kesef, they punish him a fine of 100 silver coins. V'nasun lavi anayro, and they have to give it to the father of the girl. Why? Ki heitzi shem rab besulas Yisrael, because he slandered a Jewish girl. But now the Torah says an interesting thing. That's not done yet. V'loi si aliisha. She has to, no, v'loi with an avav. She has to be his wife. La yochel l'shalcha kol yomav. He cannot send her away for the, he cannot divorce her for the rest of his life. That means the guy who brings out this slanderous accusation against the girl that she committed adultery after the Kedushin, before they got married, yeah? This doesn't apply, by the way, if a guy says, okay, I got married, she's not a virgin. Because today we do it all together, the Kedushin, everything together anyway. That's a whole completely different. Here's between the Kedushin and the Nisuin, the guy that she committed adultery. So now like this, if you can't prove the fact that the girl was guilty as charged, and she's innocent, because again, you're innocent to proven guilty. So the dinner's like this. The guy gets whipped, lashes, plus he pays the father of the girl, because she stole the bas mitzvah, 100 silver coins, plus he has to stay married to her for the rest of her life. He can never divorce her. Now, halacha said, what happens if the girl doesn't want? Then they could divorce. But I'm saying, if the girl doesn't want, and this, again, and I'll explain another point, we explained it once in the Gemara here. Why does the Torah say that you have to stay as his wife? You know, you can't divorce him. Because it was a blemish on the girl. Yeah. Instead, he slandered a girl.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay?
Nobody's
going to want to marry her.
Right.
So this guy caused that this girl shouldn't be able to get married. Because in the olden times, today, it's a mitzvah to be slandered with these things. You know. But in the time of the Gemara, you slandered somebody, they're finished for life. So therefore, the Torah says, guess what? We're going to protect this girl. She's going to be married for the rest of her life. You can't, even if you want to, you can never divorce her. And by the way, if the guy divorces her, he transgresses a negative commandment that the Torah says you cannot divorce her for the rest of your life.
And he has to support her for that.
Yeah, it's always regular full-fledged wife.
What if he mistreats her?
The reverse of
again, but he, you know, like, what?
How about the reverse of them? You're going to see the man is not good. What should you do? The reverse.
Today?
Yeah.
Or those days?
Both days. These days are the days. What's that?
The wife doesn't want to stay married?
Yeah, we could go to
so
the...
So she has to give a get.
If the man doesn't want to give
now,
a get,
nowadays.
Let me just go back to what we were saying before. In Kedushin, the man takes the woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Therefore, in order to get out of it, the woman cannot divorce the man.
If he's something blemish in the man.
The man took the woman, yeah, so he has to give her back.
So.
Okay? Or get rid of her.
Yeah.
But she cannot, it's like, if somebody, I'm not for comparing it.
Yeah.
If somebody owns a slave,
yeah.
The slave can't say, okay, I'm free. The guy bought you has to be the one to say you're free.
So she cannot get divorced?
Bezdin many times will force a divorce. Especially in the olden days.
Yeah.
Olden days was much different than
didn't they take the man and beat him until he was forced to get a divorce?
Yeah, that's if Bezdin said the woman needs to get a divorce and the husband refused, so they beat him up until he said I want to. But don't do that today, you'll end up in jail. If you live in Brooklyn somewhere in the basement, then you could do it, but don't do it. Don't do it outside of
out of the Italians.
Yeah, get the Italians to do it. Okay, this is what's called the din of Meitzi Shemra. Now, what happens if it is true? This is only if it's not true. What happens? The pasuk continues in pasuk chof. What happens if it was? She wasn't the virgin, and she committed adultery after the Kedushin. So, the pasuk says like this. You take out the girl to the gate, the door of her father's house. And they would stone her with stones. And we'll soon learn that's not what it means. He also saw Nevala b'Yisrael because she did a despicable thing. What did she do? Lizna is beisavia to commit adultery in her father's house because until she got married, she was still living with the father. It's not like today everybody has their own apartments. The olden times, until you got married, you lived at home.
Even after marriage.
Even after marriage, you lived. They just add another story to the house, yeah. So he says like this, if she was guilty, and Takash, it's proven that she committed adultery then, so she gets skila. But the Mefarshim explained why Pesach beisavia. Why at the door of her father's house? Again, because it says, look what you raised over here. A woman that commits adultery.
So what does it mean when you said, it doesn't mean what it says?
Oh no, I'm saying stoning. Stoning doesn't mean that you put a guy against the wall and everybody throws rocks at him. That's not what stoning means. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, they took him outside the city. In fact, we just learned that this Sunday morning, they take him outside the court area. There's a two-story platform that they took the guy up and they threw him off. If he died, they put a stone on his head. If he didn't die, then they actually put threw stones at him. But it wasn't the guy lining up against the wall,
but it says,
like a...
It says,
yeah, it was good. I'm saying, yeah, but they did the skila process. Was it actually threw her off the...
So it wasn't at the entrance of the father's house?
No, no, it was outside the court. Away from the court.
Why Sekila? Why not?
That was the punishment
that
for
was
this.
That the worst one, right?
Skila, according to the four capital punishments. Skila, Sreifa, Hereg, and Chenek. Literally means stoning, burning, choking, beheading. No, I mean, sorry, beheading and stoning. Choking. Skila, Sreifa, Hereg, Chenek. One opinion says Sreifa is the worst, but Halacha is like the Chachamim, that Skila is stoning, Sreifa burning, Hereg beheading him, and Chenek is choking.
With a rope.
Yeah. But it was not like even burning, they didn't put him into a fire. They made him drink very hot lead. It went down, the guy died instantaneously.
Lead?
Hot lead, you know, it's very...
What is lead in Hebrew?
No, Aved, it's basically. Huh? Whatever.
It has to be lead.
Hot lead. And
such measures were taken because not...
But like we learned, if you really killed the Bezdin, they killed somebody once in 7 years. Another piece of 70 years, it was called the killing Bezdin.
Didn't occur often.
No.
Because it prevented people from doing that. They would understand that...
Listen, years ago, if you sinned, you had to bring a sacrifice. You had to bring a cow, right? That was worth a few months' salary. You know, if you can't pay for it, you don't sin.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Today you sin, you get away with it for free.
Exactly.
So people sin a lot. If you if you have to pay, if you have to pay a lot of money every time you sin, you know, it's a problem. Okay. Oviyarta harami kebecha, you should get rid of the evil from within you. Okay?
So which case was this? The three possibilities, the
Asian girl.
Which one is this?
This is, no, this is a nida. Under a nida, under bat mitzvah, she doesn't get stoned.
What's the difference, 12 and 12 and a half? It's not much difference. What?
6 months.
6 months.
Yeah, but between the Marlins are from a lot of psukim. Naira is from 12 to 12 and a half.
Yeah,
then she's a gedela, but she's still under the rishus of the father. Many things the father can still marry her off, marry her off certain things.
So every time it says Na'ara, Na'ara, it's 12 and 12.
When the Torah says Naira, it means 12 to 12 and a half.
In all circumstances.
Yeah. If it means older, even though the Torah doesn't use the word bogedes, bochlal, but bogedes means an adult.
What does it say instead of Bulgarian?
It doesn't. The Gedola Isha. Just Isha. Isha would mean over.
So in this paragraph we have Isha and we have Nam.
Right. Yeah, but it says Avia Naira, Avia Naira. And Velaisi Ali Isha, that's as far as a wife goes. It can't say Velaisi Ali Naira. But yeah, because then for the actual chuppah, she was called an Isha at that time. Once she got married, she became an Isha. She became on her own. What?
No, he told me something else that I don't want to know.
Okay. Next. Now speaks a married woman committing adultery. Until now, this was before the marriage. Ki matzei sheichiv him Isha bulas baal. If you will find a man that's living with a woman who is married, that means it's already after the chuppah, umei sugam shneyam, both of them die. Here the punishment, by the way, is chenek, the choking punishment. Who dies? Ha'isha sheichiv him ha'isha, the man that lived with the woman, for ha'isha and the woman, be artonim yisrael to get rid of the sins from amongst the Jews.
Rabbi, do we need two witnesses for these cases?
Yeah. By the way, even if they admitted they did it, we don't take it. There has to be, these are two witnesses that actually testify. Then they didn't necessarily see the act, but they saw him going into the house alone. What's called Eidi Yichud. Okay, Eidi Yichud, Eidi Bia. The Yichud, the witnesses that testify that they went alone in a room, and they basically testified that they committed adultery. Now, what's interesting then is like this. A girl from the age of 3, you can have intimacy with. A boy over 9 could do an act of intimacy. That's what Taylor says. A girl over 3 could be, in other words, this is already a practical halacha, by the way. If somebody, let's say, has relations with a girl under 3, a 2.5-year-old girl, the din is psulisel chesris. Her virginity comes back. She's still considered a virgin. Okay? Because whatever happens under 3, she still remains a virgin. Once a girl hits 3, then if somebody lives with her, or whatever it is, then she's not considered a virgin anymore. Okay? That's the halacha. So a girl over 3, which means like this. What happens, and a boy is the age of 9. So let's say you have a married girl at the age of 10. She's married, but she's not an adult yet, right? She's not obligated to mitzvahs. And a 20-year-old man, but she's married to a man, yeah? And a 20-year-old man lives with her, seduces her. Because she's underage, she's not bas mitzvah, she can't get killed. But the man gets killed. Because he committed adultery. What happens if a 10-year-old boy had relations with a married 20-year-old woman? No, he's 9. He doesn't get killed. He's underage. He's not bar mitzvah.
If he's 10.
Bar mitzvah is 13.
So you say after nine is the...
So I'm saying he could perform, but he's not obligated to mitzvahs. So I'm saying if a 10-year-old boy, yeah, has intimacy with a 20-year-old woman, or anybody over bas mitzvah, doesn't matter, who's married, yeah, so she committed adultery, he doesn't get killed, because he's a minor, but she would get killed. But a 7-year-old boy did it with a 20-year-old woman, then she didn't commit adultery.
She did it.
Because the kid's under 9.
That boy.
Only over 9 can he commit intimacy. Under 9 he can't. What?
Yichud, stepfather, stepmother. Yichud is not applied?
Sure it does.
How did he be married and bring this kid to the husband? What's the story about that?
There's a big problem with step... Well, we're not learning Yichud now. But adopted kids are also a problem with Yichud. That's, if not biological kids, there's a problem with Yichud, with adopted kids, stepchildren. It's a very big problem. But people have to be careful about it.
This thing still occurs in the Muslims, amongst the Muslims.
What?
They marry, like... little
yeah, children. But today in Yiddishkeit, this says you don't do it. Because they're immature, they're too young.
Of course.
Huh? Yichud applies. According to Allah, the dinim of Yichud apply that you can't be alone, a man and woman in a room. Apply it to a girl over 9. Over 3.
Really?
Halachically, that's what it is. Okay. So therefore, if the man living with a woman and she's married, so then they both die, and the punishment is chenek. Okay? By the way, just coming back to one thing, I should have mentioned this before. In the case where it's true that this woman committed adultery after the kedushin before the wedding, yeah? So in order to kill her, because she committed adultery, right? So she needs to have 2 witnesses that it happened, and she had to be warned. If she's not warned, you can't get killed.
That's what I asked you.
When did you ask me?
That I said, do you have to have a witness that...
No, we're having a witness is not enough.
Someone has to warn her that what she's doing is wrong.
Listen,
both witnesses.
If Reuven is going to kill Shimon, yeah? Scenario, there's in the street, 2 guys are standing, kosher witnesses, not related, religious, Jews, everything fine. Male, religious, everything. And Reuven kills Shimon, cold-blooded murder with a gun. Yeah? There's 2 witnesses saying the murder happened. Nothing happens to Reuven. You know why? He wasn't warned.
You have to warn.
You have to warn. Not only that, you have to warn him. What's called teich kadei dibur, within 1 or 2 seconds of the act. If I see Reuven and Shimon are fighting, and one guy has a gun, and I say, "Hey, 2 witnesses warn him. Don't kill him." And you have to now tell him. You have to don't kill him. And if you kill him, what's going to happen to you? Yeah. And 5 minutes later, he shot him. It's no good. Because the warning was too long ago, he forgot it. It has to be...
What do you do to that person?
I'll tell you what you do. Teich kadei dibur, that's the halacha. It has to be within the time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Those 3 words.
A few seconds.
Shalom Alecha Rebbe. I don't know how long it takes. Look on the clock. So, that the warning has to be... That's why Bez never killed anybody. Yeah. There has to be within the time, because otherwise we say he forgot it. He didn't remember, he doesn't remember the warning. Since then, the woman here in this case had to be warned, and the 2 witnesses and everything. Then, if it's true that that's what happened, then you take out and kill
it. Within a few seconds of them going into the room.
Yeah.
What happens to that person then, Rabbi? Like, for example, the person, Reuven.
Reuven kills Shimon in cold-blooded murder. Everybody in the world knows about it. His name's OJ. Everybody knows about it, but he couldn't. Orange juice, you know. It couldn't be proven. What happens like this? The Gemara says, Hashem takes care of him.
Of course. This is all the
somebody else falls off a ladder, falls on top of him and kills him,
exactly.
Whatever. You know what? That's Hashem's business.
That would be considered
it's Hashem's business.
If they fall off the ladder.
Huh?
If they fall off the ladder, that's
on top of the guy. So the guy that gets killed was the guy that killed somebody else. He was supposed to get killed. Whatever. God, you know what? Thank God. We have our own problems. We don't have to deal with God's problems. Let him deal with his own problems. He doesn't have anything to do all day anyway. So let Hashem deal with his problems. Let Hashem. I know. He creates the problems all day.
No, he doesn't. Don't say that.
So, okay, relax. Hashem, let Hashem worry about his own headaches, and we'll worry about our own.
How is that a deterrent for our society? Do you know what I'm saying? Like if they're, say, okay, well, Hashem will take care of it, so to speak, but how does that deter, like, chaos from happening?
That's why one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach is that there's obligation on Goyim to set up a judiciary system. The things should be taken care of. And if they don't, by the way, if a non-Jew transgresses the seven Noahic laws, he gets killed.
By who?
Well, when the Goyim were under Jewish jurisdiction in Eretz Yisrael, mm-hmm. So then the Jewish court would kill a non-Jew that didn't keep the seven mitzvahs. If a non-Jew stole, they would get killed. If a non-Jew ate the live limb off an animal, they would get killed. The seven Noahic laws, they would get killed. Well, Rambam, one witness, there's a lot of, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim says exactly who's kosher to be a witness. It's one witness is enough. But they would get killed by Beis Din.
So you're talking about a non-Jewish society, but how about like a Jewish society? Like a Jewish society to keep people...
If Beis Din saw, again, we learned many times that in Torah law there's no such thing as going to jail. There's no prison term in Torah. In the secular world, you have 10 years, 5 years, 10 years, 3 years, 18, life, whatever it is. In Torah law, there's no such thing as jail, prison, as a punishment. There was a concept of prison in Torah, but for other reasons. You have find the Chumash, the Mekosha Sheitz, and guy chopped wood on, or gathered wood on Shabbos. They didn't know what punishment to give him, because the Torah wasn't that given yet. So, they locked him up until Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem how to...
When Joshua said, prison the Elgad
of Elgad. Right, well, he said to put him into prison, but he did. Now, or I'll tell you something, another case, and this to answer your question. The Moshul, it says in Halacha, let's say there's Nebuch, a girl who is mentally retarded, and all the men were having a good time with her. Because she couldn't protect herself, right? So then Beis Din would lock her up for her safety. Mm-hmm. But not in the jail, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or, the Gemara says, that what happens if there's a guy who's going around doing a lot of terrible things, killing her, and you couldn't prove it. But Beis Din knew it happened.
Right. So
Beis Din wouldn't be able to kill him, mm-hmm. But Beis Din would lock him up to keep him off the streets. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a punishment for the crime.
Right.
Instead, punishment for the crime, there's no such thing as jail. In prison.
This parsha this week, when they talk about the four things that, like, when a person crosses the desert and then crosses the ocean, and then if they were sick, they released from jail, right?
Right.
One of them.
Yeah, but that means goyish jail.
That's what I want to.
A Jew was released from goyish jail. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a jail concept in Yiddishkeit. Over there, prison means the non-Jewish. Goyim arrested the person in jail. In fact, the Rebbe once spoke a very interesting sicha, why there is no jail term in Yiddishkeit. Why there isn't. So the Rebbe said, a person was born to be constructive in life. To do something, to accomplish something. The Rebbe said, jail doesn't do anything to the person. It doesn't. The Rebbe believed in rehabilitation, getting him back into society, making him aware of what. The Rebbe said, locking a guy up in jail, number one, they usually end up become more hardcore in jail.
True.
Secondly, the Rebbe says, you are not allowing the person to fulfill the mission why he was born. So, the Rebbe said like this, if it's a punishment that Torah says kill him, meaning that person's act, through doing that act, he forfeited his right to become a constructive person. And therefore, Beth Torah says kill him.
True.
But even when Torah kills him, we're learning this a lot in the Gemara here. When Torah kills somebody, there's no such thing as death row. Today, a guy kills somebody to put you in death row, you die from old age before, in Torah was like this. They heard the K, if it was a capital punishment, we're just learning the sound of Mishnah, in Sanhedrin. If the guy did a crime of capital punishment, Bezin would hear, let's say, on Monday, the case, yeah? If they were acquitted him, they acquitted him right away. If they felt the guy's guilty, Monday night, they slept on it, so to speak. They spent the whole night going back, themselves, going back and forth. If Tuesday the verdict came out guilty, he was killed that day.
And if not?
No, he was killed that day.
And what if, like, circumstances happened that they couldn't be
killed? They killed him that day.
There was a horror, well, they found reason.
They killed him that day, because it's torture to leave a guy knowing he's dying on other than, you know. So they killed him right away. But again, jail, so if a guy did a crime that he forfeited through the crime, he forfeited his right to become a constructive human being, then Torah says you have to get killed. Otherwise, what is the purpose of putting somebody in jail when nothing good comes from it?
So what was, when the Rebbe had the, like, Shulchan go to the jail to visit people, it was to try to help them become more constructive people? Was
yes,
the
they're working with the judges, the institutes that deal with the prisoners,
yeah,
are dealing with rehabilitation and getting things like that, yeah? Because the person needs to become constructive. They did something foolish, stupid, but you know, tshuva helps. If they do tshuva, they do tshuva. So then why shouldn't they become rehabilitated? Were they going to rot in jail and do nothing? Besides the fact that we pay for it.
Now it's different.
Besides the fact that we pay for it.
Actually, most jails in the United States are privately owned.
No, they're government taxpayers.
And they make
taxpayers.
A lot of money from these
But how about
people?
The concept like here in America where people we know like that they did crimes, like they live in your neighborhood. Like
nope.
I don't know, that's creepy to me. Like knowing that like someone could be your neighbor.
But if they became rehabilitated... If they became rehabilitated,
yeah,
that the testing shows they're not a danger to society anymore, it's a different story.
Is that true? No.
Sure it is true. Sure it's true. There's places that test people to make sure if they are rehabilitated in a way that they're not... anybody could commit a crime. I mean, a lot of these guys are going around shooting people all over the place and not people that committed crimes before, necessarily. Right? Anybody can snap. But based on the testing, and that's a form of rehabilitation. I'm not going into exact detail, but this is the form of rehabilitation. Yeah.